So listen, you know, we're in a season, I really feel this, that we're in a season of extreme acceleration in the things of God. Anybody else?
Yes.
You got that?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It's like things are just, you know, wow, moving. And I'm thinking about this just before, and all of a sudden I remember this old verse out of the King James Version. And it's in Jeremiah 12, I think it's verse 5. It says, if you can't run with the footmen, how are you going to contend with the horses? You ever heard that verse? If you can't run with the footmen, how are you going to contend with the horses? And the idea behind that is that when things get really crazy, when the acceleration happens, if you get weary trying to keep up with people on foot, what are you going to do when God accelerates it even further? Horses speak of strength. Now, I know that they often represent human strength, you know, and leaning on the arm of the flesh. But in this case, there's a spiritual application here where God is looking to actually take what He's put in us and release it in even greater and greater proportions and to move us, you know, in ways that we're not used to. How many of you really enjoy being out of your comfort zone? I mean, it's not something we enjoy, right? We like our little, you know, safe places that we find ourselves. But God is not allowing that in this season. He's, you know, I love, who is it? Jalen, you were saying that you're trying to pray for somebody. Here comes Jesus barging in. Bob! You know, this is what's going to happen in a greater way, you know, if you're open to it. You know, listen, the Lord is not anybody that's going to come in and throw you on the ground and make you do something, okay? He just doesn't operate that way. But if you're truly wanting to move with God and the things of God, yeah, get ready for those divine interruptions in the midst of whatever you're doing, because He wants to do stuff, and He wants to do it through us. And so, over the past month or so, you know, I think it was a month or so ago that I shared a little bit from that quick little parable that Jesus gave us about the yeast and the dough, right? We talked about all that and how that yeast represents how the kingdom of God moves and infiltrates into all the different nooks and crannies of society. That's really what we're all about, right? When we're out there loving people and releasing God's presence and power in their life, they're becoming exposed to something transformative, right? The flour gets absolutely transformed by the yeast. It's not the same thing after the yeast has done its work. And so that's a picture of the kingdom of God. People are absolutely not the same after the power of the kingdom gets operating in their lives. Amen? And so, you know, right before that parable is another parable that I was looking at about the mustard seed. And so, I want to just drop some stuff into your heart right now for you to think about. We're not going to go into any deep stuff tonight because we just don't have time, and I don't feel like it. So we're not going to go deep. But okay. This is coming out of Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 30. It says, Jesus said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and forms large branches, so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. So Jesus says, I want to try to give you a picture of the kingdom. And He uses this analogy of the mustard seed, which is, you know, one of the tiniest seeds that you could ever see. I mean, it's almost so small, you would overlook it unless you were looking for it. It's that small. So when you plant this tiny little seed and it grows, you know, the average size of the mustard seed when it's a mature plant is like 3 or 4 feet. But there are some plants that can get as high as 10, 12, or even 15 feet. I don't know why, but some of them just grow like that. And so He's using this example to try to describe what the kingdom of God looks like. And so as I'm, you know, reading this and thinking about it and talking to Him about it, I realized that the difference between this parable and the one about the yeast is that the mustard seed grows into something that has structure. right? The yeast does its work. It infiltrates, changes the nature of the flour. But there's really no structure there. You got to kind of put the dough in something, right? A container so that it has some kind of shape, right? But this mustard seed grows up into a large plant that has structure. It's got leaves and twigs and branches and a stem. So I'm thinking about this and going, all right, Lord, what's the structure that you're trying to help us see through this analogy? And immediately, he says, what you're seeing are the kingdom connections that I have for every single one of my children. The kingdom connections, the family connections, the royal connections that we have as sons and daughters of God. I believe that's what he's illustrating through this parable of the mustard seed. It grows up into a plant that has a definable structure. So what does it look like? What do these relationships look like in the kingdom context? First of all, you need to recognize that in the kingdom of God, everything, and I mean everything, is based on relationship. Okay? If you don't understand that, ask the Lord to give you revelation on it. Because everything in his kingdom is based on relationship. He himself is relationship. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay? So his priority is always going to be relationship. Okay? As a matter of fact, if, you know, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. If you don't read the scriptures through the lens of his priority, which is relationship, you will absolutely misinterpret so much of the Bible. Okay? And it wasn't until I got that revelation that I really began to understand stuff. And I don't have time to go into that either because I don't want to do that. So what do I want to do tonight? I want you to begin to think about three kinds of relationships that are available to you in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ. These are three relationships that every single one of us must have if we're going to mature. The first one is the relationship with a counselor. Why do we need a counselor? I don't know about you, but I was broken when I came into this thing. Were you broken when you came into the kingdom, when you came into the family of God? Absolutely. So a counselor is someone that's going to help you know what you need to do to get healed, to get unbroken, to become restored. The role of a counselor is very prescriptive. You come to them, I have a problem, help me. And they'll give you wisdom, they'll give you whatever it is that you need so that you can absolutely get free from whatever the problem is. Okay? That's relationship number one. Relationship number two is a mentor. Now, what makes a mentor different from a counselor? Very simple. As a mentor, I'm going to give you the benefit of what I have learned in my life, the wisdom, the experiences that I've had, you know, so that you don't have to go and make the same dumb mistakes that I made, right? But my goal is not to fix you. My goal is to build you up. Okay? A mentor can function as a counselor, but that's not their primary purpose. Their primary purpose is discipleship. Mentoring is just another word for a disciple or for a discipler, right? So you look to a mentor to help you gain what you don't have, to receive what you're lacking in the way of wisdom and understanding, right? Third relationship is the relationship of a peer. And what's a peer? Well, a peer is just somebody who is walking with you through life because you're all kind of in the same place in the journey, you know? It's not like, you know, a peer relationship is not a mentor because a mentor has kind of had more experience. They're further down the road than you in their walk, right? But a peer is someone that walks with you side by side, that you can confide in, that you can pray with, that can encourage you. These three relationships are crucial for every born-again believer to have, especially the peer relationship. You may think, well, why? Wouldn't the counselor or the mentor be more? Listen, they're all important. They're all important. But if you can't find a mentor, at least find a peer. Find somebody that you can link arms with, that you can put your arm around, they can put your arm around you, and you can walk together. One put 1,000 to flight. What? How many did 2 put 1,000 to put to flight? 10,000. That's multiplication. Okay? So at some point, I don't know when, I'm going to share some more things with you about the nitty-gritty nuts and bolts of what it means to actually enter into these kinds of relationships, but especially the peer relationship. Okay? Because I really believe that if you can't keep up with the footmen, if you get tired trying to keep up with the footmen, you're not going to have the energy when the horses come. You see, this is why we need each other. This is, and you know what? I love how this tribe is connecting. You guys, you really get it. And you really love each other. What I'm suggesting to you tonight is that God wants to take that up a whole other level in terms of our skill. Would you like to be skilled in being able to help your brothers and sisters? Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Because we're building a family here that's strong. Strong in God, strong in love, strong in our beliefs and what we're called to. And I'm excited. I'm like, yes!